causes. Also, excerpts from a new speech by Bernie Sanders of after his recent caucus victories. And at 11 on stage and studio, DMA Roberts features Profile Theater's production of The Blue Door by Tanya Barfield. We'll hear from director Bobby Bermia and actor Seth Rue. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Gallivan interviews artists Dana Lynn Lewis and Vanessa Rennick, who both have work and shows at the Portland Art Museum. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this.
Kebu Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Pan-African film series hosted by the All African People's Revolutionary Party. The film this month is Assata Shakur Talks About Socialist Development in Cuba, showing Wednesday, March 30th at 6 p.m. at the Portland State University Smith Memorial Student Union in room 236. The former Black Panther and member of the Black Liberation Army, who has had political asylum in Cuba since 1984, talks about socialist practices in Cuba, racism, patriarchy, and the way forward for socialist politics. Again, that's Assata Shakur Talks About Socialist Development in Cuba, Wednesday, March 30th at 6 p.m. at the Smith Memorial Student Union in room 236 at Portland State University, 1825 Southwest Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
In Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, March 29th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real community radio at 90.7 FM on the air, kboo.fm on the web. A little weather to get things rolling. Obviously, today it's sunny, highs around 63 and light winds. Tonight, clear skies with a low around 40, north winds 9 to 14, becoming light northeast towards evening. You could get a little bit of gusts up to 20 miles per hour, especially out in the gorge. And for tomorrow, look for more sunny skies with a high reaching 68, calm winds. And that is it for the most the closest weather to us right now. We've got a couple of guests today whose stories are related very, very closely. Jody McCaffrey with Citizens Against LNG joins us with some breaking developments that happened just overnight. And I would love to say you won't hear it on mainstream media because it's just happened overnight. And then it hit me that you won't hear it on mainstream media at all, because it has to do with the interests of corporate interests and the privatization of people's land, public people's own people's land. See, privatization is only for the big dogs. If you want to keep your own land private, if you just want to plain old keep your own land, that's not in the cards for you. Oh, no. That's not going to happen. So we want to talk a little bit about eminent domain and ways that corporations, especially multinationals, have around that the issue of eminent domain. If anybody thinks to challenge an eminent domain claim, well, it's easy. Then you just buy up all the land. So this whole issue really got rolling when I heard about a situation in Pennsylvania. It had to do with land that was a third-generation sugar maple farm. Third generation. Think about that. Think about sugar maples. Think about, you know, our country's heritage and things that we believe to be particularly American. And then you think about such a thing as a constitution oil rolling across your land, slashing down all of the trees, and basically left with nothing. The Constitution Pipeline tree crew began felling the trees in the Holloran family's maple sugaring stand a while back. There were other landowners, farmers in the area who also suffered the same fate. And now the family is left with plenty of time for activism and fighting out the challenges. We've got Kathy Holloran on the line right now. She's driving, and so we want to talk to her right away. We're going to speak also with Jody McCaffrey about another iteration of the whole notion of taking private citizens' land. It turns out that in the case of Malheur, that's something entirely different going on there, of course. Kathy, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
So just to bring listeners up to speed, and also let them know, your daughter Megan is going to direct action event today. And so where are you now? Where is anything left? What's left of your farm?
Well, they cut most of the trees. There were a few they couldn't do, one section they couldn't do because they only were allowed to use hand chainsaws and no mechanized equipment. They couldn't drive in there with big trucks or anything. So some of it was too steep and they couldn't cut it. But most of it they took down, probably 300-400 trees. It's all lying on the ground right now.
That's heartbreaking.
It's terrible, especially in light of the fact that they just decided they can't cut anymore. They discontinued all their tree cutting because they have no permits from New York State yet, and they pretty much laid everybody off.
So your trees are down for no reason. So three generations of maple sugaring, and that's that.
Mm-hmm. And then they said, oh, oops, but we can't do this now. We can't finish it by March 31st. But today they're still down in another part of Pennsylvania below us. It's a different, I'm not sure if it's the same line or a different line, but it's the same exact situation. These people have land that they've been the stewards of for a long, long time, probably 40 to 50 years, and they're doing the same thing trying to come through. And this family has two court things that are already in, that are pending in the court. So they told them, you can't come through here and cut anything. You only have 3 days left to do it. And we have court cases pending on this very situation. And they were coming in today to do it anyway because they had 3 days to cut and they were going to try and do it. So my daughter went down there and a whole bunch of other people, and they were going to stand in their way. I'm not sure how it's going. I hope that they stop them.
Well, maybe we can talk to them tomorrow. Maybe we can talk to Megan tomorrow and see what happened there, because this is something I think everybody ought to keep a sharp eye out for, the takings this way of ignoring land ownership, yeah, rights of private people. Anybody who does not have the millions of dollars and armies of lawyers that it takes to defend oneself and one's property, one's land, from the corporate depredations. And then what happens when you do it, take these people to court? What about the other situation that you mentioned? If something is already in litigation, they are not allowed to do anything. So what happens next?
With those people, you mean?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, because they already have two things already pending in court, and that's what they tried to tell them. You really can't cut here. We have things that are pending. It's not even legal. So somebody down there, I'm not sure if it was a judge, my daughter was telling me about it, the one who's down there, she said somebody put a injunction against them saying that they were not allowed to stand in the way. So their lawyer said, too bad for the injunction. Even if they throw fines at you for the 3 days that they're going to come and cut, it would be worth it to just stop them, and we'll deal with it later. Because this lawyer doesn't think that the injunction they put against them was even legal in the first place. He's pretty sure that they can beat that in a court. So really, it's just you're up against all this stuff they throw at you that we don't know any better. We don't really have the money and the resources, the deep pockets like they do, to fight it. So we kind of have to step back half the time and let them come in and do what they're going to do, which is what they did on our land. And then they realize, oh, well, we can't finish it. And meanwhile, we've got, you know, all this destruction that's lying there that nobody can, you know, it's really outrageous that they can go ahead and do these things.
I couldn't even stand looking at it myself. Kathy, thank you so much for being with us. I admire your fortitude and apparent good spirits. I'm enraged, and I let our listeners know.
Thank you.
If I am biased, yes, I am. Things like this just should not be allowed to happen, and they wouldn't if more people knew about it. People knew that a third generation maple sugaring farm had been laid waste to. It's so egregious and over the top that the only way to fight this stuff is to fight it in the court of public opinion, and that's exactly what we're trying to do here. I want to thank you for joining us today. My guest, of course, has been Kathy Holleran, and we move on to the North Hartford Maple Farm, and moving right along. We have Jody McCaffrey waiting on the line, Citizens Against LNG, a person who's absolutely tireless, someone who does not turn out for direct actions and hikes and so forth. She does, but not just for that when the weather is nice. It's someone who works constantly and tirelessly 24 hours a day all year round on this, it would appear. Good morning, Jody. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
So there have been some over now. We are happy. We were very happy recently. There had been a victory at Jordan Cove. Many people thought, how about that? We did it. It's over. Hurrah. What's next? Turns out what's next is basically the same thing. What can you tell me a bit about what just happened? Overnight, essentially.
Yes, well, overnight to me, because I wasn't totally paying attention.
They always do it. They always do it. They do it on holidays. Easter, boom, there it is. Thanksgiving, boom, there it is. Christmas, boom. And watch, it's going to happen on the 4th of July. Pick up a holiday, any holiday, and then sit there and wait. You just wait for the rat to come out of the hole. Guaranteed, there is a rat in the hole. It'll be out on the holiday when no one's looking. So what happened in the aftermath of this recent holiday?
Well, as you know, FERC issued an order actually denying Jordan Cove and Pacific Nectar based on a couple things. One was that they didn't have contracts, and the other one was that they hadn't acquired approval from landowners. 90% of the landowners had not signed off, and there was a lot of issues with the landowners. So today, well, I discovered this late last night because I've been gone. I come in, and they had put it on. There were things that they added to the late agenda item, but what they have today at the Coos County Commission meeting is on the consent calendar, which means you don't really have any discussion about it. They're approving a right-of-way and easement for Williams Pacific Connector. That's the gas pipeline for Jordan Cove.
So they just went ahead and approved it, despite objections, despite public outcry across the state.
Besides, the FERC order denying it, and you know, them knowing Jordan Cove doesn't have most of the land use processes. I can't think of any that there might be a few for little tiny things, but most of their main land use processes have all these conditions of approval that Pacific Connector and Jordan Cove have not met. And there's a huge land use process for the terminal that hasn't even been gone through the decision process yet. The hearing, where we've been waiting for the hearings officer's decision to come down, and yet they're going ahead as if this is already, you know, done, signed, deal, delivered, and no public input. There was never a public process that I know of. I stayed up half the night commenting on these three items, because the second item is they're actually changing the Coos County Code, and they're having a hearing about that, which they just put out last week that they were doing this on a bulletin board at the county, and of course it's on the agenda, to change the wording of the permits for work in a right-of-way. And then, of course, the late agenda item is they have 10 parcels of land, forest land, that the county's selling, and they don't tell you who they're selling it to, but you pretty much know what that's about. And really, no, well, they're going to say they had a public process. They put it on, you know, just before the close of business yesterday, and we're supposed to know about these things and be able to change our plans, which I have other things that I had scheduled today, so I can't be there. So it's very frustrating. I should have known. Easter holiday, I should have been paying extra special attention.
you can't
and
I
wasn't.
Jody, hang on a second. We're almost out of time. I'm hoping to see on the Citizens Against LNG website a list. What you've just told us is a lot. The sale of trees to prop very likely the pipeline company. All the rest of it is illegal. It is in fact illegal what they did. They went around legal processes over a holiday weekend, and this is what came out. If we want to see it on that website, we'll put that up on the KBOO website. If listeners hear this and they are outraged, and they should be, you should be outraged. Call the governor, write to the governor, email the governor, have your voice heard. This Coos Bay Jordan Cove belongs to all of us as Oregonians, and as such, we are responsible. Jody, thank you so much. My guests today have been, of course, Kathy Halloran and Jody McCaffrey. This has been a Cascadia for Tuesday, March 29th. Janet Anderson engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, we turn our attention to Belgium. We're going to try and get some deeper information.